Welcome to Bold in Business, where strategy meets personal development and emotional mastery. I'm your host, Claudia Manjak, a multi-passionate entrepreneur, qualified coach, a mom, and an advocate for breaking the rules and doing things your way. Each week, we'll dive into unfiltered conversations on the topics that matter most to female entrepreneurs, including mindset, leadership, marketing, and more. If you're ready for inspiration, insights, and actionable takeaways for your life and business your way, let's get started. Hello, friend, and welcome to another episode. I hope you are ready, drink in hand, ready for a walk, ready to do your errands wherever you are right now, because we're getting in for a spicy episode. This is the kind of episode that is really going to motivate you, to inspire you, to remind you what you started, to really put you back on track in case you are feeling maybe a little bit lost in your business. So, Becky and I, we're going in deep. This conversation is getting very, very real. And I love this conversation so much because Becky and I, we actually met in a program. We were in the same program. And I think both her and I, at the same time, when we started looking at each other's social media and so on, we realized that we had a lot in common. We started business around the same time. And even though our journeys have been very different, we both talk about very similar things in terms of sustainability. We have the same beliefs. We have had similar experiences in business. So I knew there was going to be a really good conversation. And my intention with this episode is for you to really get a real insight into what it's like in the business world, a real insight into the conversation that no one is having out loud. So without further ado, I want us to get started because it's a really, really good conversation. So let's start chatting with Becky. Hey, Becky, and welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Claudia. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I'm doing great.
I am so pumped for us to be talking because, like I was saying right before we started recording, we were going to talk about something on the podcast, and then we got started chatting and we just got into this topic, and I was like, we need to talk about this. It just feels natural. So before we get into all of this good stuff, because I'm telling you now, this is going to be a spicy episode. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your story? I love for my people to hear the context.
Yes. Okay. So hello, everybody. I am Becky Fagan. I'm a business coach. I started my business in September of 2018. I got laid off from a job that I thought was my dream job at, like, I think I was 23. I was 23 years old and I thought I had found the job I was going to do for the rest of my life. And that didn't happen. So I started a business and I started out as a social media manager. That was my background. It took me a couple of months to get things off the ground. And as I was working on getting things off the ground, I discovered the coaching world. I didn't totally know it existed beforehand. And after one too many bad kind of horror client stories in the social media management side of my business, I was like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. It's not for me in this kind of situation and this kind of setup as my own boss. I want to shift into coaching. And so when I shifted into coaching, my first full year in business was 2019. And that year, I struggled with a lot of anxiety and depression. It was a really rough year for me. And I was telling Claudia before we recorded that my first full year in business, there was a lot of days stuck in bed, could barely get myself out. But I was able to pull myself out of it. And enough at least to at minimum post every day. That was my goal for myself. And I closed out my first full year in business, making a little over $50,000 in sales. And the reason that's important to say in my story is that at the time I was not proud of that number. I was ashamed by that number because I thought it needed to be better because everybody online is always talking about hitting six figures. And I was like, why are some people hitting six figures in 6 months? And I couldn't even do it in my first full year. So that was a big piece of my story for me. And my journey was like the judgment that I had on myself throughout the past 5 years of my business. But I still, like, looking back, I'm so proud of what I did. And, you know, the next 4 years of my business have been just kind of like a roller coaster ride of figuring out what's right for me and what I wanted to focus on. I started my business when I started in coaching, working with beginner entrepreneurs, and I've really shifted into working with a higher level entrepreneur that's wanting to take their business to that next level and build more income sustainably, with a focus on living life more than they're running their business and more than they're sucked into their business. But it's been a journey to get myself here, and it's come through a lot of ups and downs, a couple of rock bottoms in there, but I figured out that this is really where my passion lies, is that sustainability piece and that lifestyle piece, after all these 5 years of experience in this entrepreneur world that I've had.
I was saying to you earlier that I feel like that's really the piece that you and I really connected on, because we have the same approach. And I was wondering, for you, going back to that first year where you really struggled with your mental health, do you think the business was part of it, or was it the cause, or did it help or did it not help? Where was the business in that?
So I definitely think that the part of the business that maybe didn't help was that, since I started my business after being laid off, I just had the money that I had. So I immediately went into entrepreneurship needing to make money in order to essentially survive. And I was only 23 at the time. I am lucky my parents were helping me out a bit, but it was still that still was a pressure. However, I remember being very grateful for my business, because I felt like I would wake up some days and I was like, I can't even imagine what I would be doing if I had to get up and get dressed and go into an office today. Like, I can barely get myself out of bed. And I was so excited about my business in that first year. Like, it was new, it was shiny, it was exciting. It was like, what's going to happen today? When am I going to hit this new goal? When is this next thing going to happen? So it was really like an exciting time for me, as much as it was a scary and slightly stressful time. So I think that more than anything, it was helpful. And yes, again, like, I don't want to discredit the fact that, you know, the stress around money, I've always had a lot of stress around money. It's been a constant thing I've had to work on, and like making sure I had enough and things like that. Like, yes, that did come, but you know, it was never so bad that was the thing that was fueling my anxiety or my depression. It was they were completely separate. And if anything, in the grand scheme of things, I think it was a blessing that I had my business.
I love that. And I think that is beautiful to hear. I'm hoping people feel the same as they listen, because a lot of times we do feel like our businesses are the things that are stressing us. So I really feel like sometimes the business is the thing that can ground you. And I have had times in my life where I have felt like, as crazy as it might sound when I say it out loud, the business was the only thing I could control. Where there are other things in my life that I couldn't quite control. But I was the one that was creating the content. I was the one that was coaching. I was the one that was showing up, and I could decide if I was going to, you know, the brand allows you to kind of like step into a different version of yourself. And I find that that can really help. So I thank you for sharing that. That's beautiful.
Yeah, of course.
So we talked about sustainability. So what is sustainability to you? I'm curious, because I know everyone has their own version of sustainability.
Yeah. And I think that people, I feel like sustainability is very much a buzzword. Like, everybody says sustainability, and I'm like, what do you mean by that though? I can't tell you how many times I hired coaches. I am just want to give this disclaimer. I am a freak for learning. I am obsessed with learning. I didn't love college, but yet I love learning. I think it's the pressure of having to take the tests on top of the learning that got to me, but I love to learn. So I have been like an avid reinvestor into my business, constantly wanting to learn more, constantly wanting to be better, et cetera. And I can't tell you how many times over the years I've invested in a coach who's talking about sustainability. And then I go through working with them, and then I get on the other side and I look back and I'm like, there was nothing sustainable about what just happened. Like, I just created a one-way ticket to burnout city. Like, I feel like crap. This isn't working for me. So I definitely think it's very much a buzzword. So to me, sustainability is about creating a structure in your business that supports you and allows you to feel safe and secure month after month without running yourself to the ground. So my goal when I look at sustainability is, how can I help my clients create sustainability? So starting out every month, knowing that they have X amount of income coming in, no matter what happens, in the easiest, simplest way possible. So a lot of people say you can't have sustainability until you're at the level where you're creating passive income and you can constantly have that passive income converting into clients. But the thing is, there's no guarantee with anything. You can have the most amazing passive income funnel, but if you don't have enough people going into the funnel, it doesn't matter anyway. So there's literally no guarantee with anything. So I would much rather support my clients when it comes to sustainability. And this is like such a long-winded way of saying what my perspective on sustainability is, but create a version of sustainability where it's like, okay, I can realistically do this month after month and create essentially the same outcome every single time, because I've created a system that works for myself. And the way that I look at business, it's like you can create sustainability with literally one offer. Like it doesn't have to be this crazy, complicated, complex business in order to have that. It's just a matter of figuring out what's that base you want to create and what are like, figure out the numbers that will allow you to create that base over and over again, and then creating the strategy to support you in making those numbers happen over and over again.
I love that. And it's so funny that you touched on the offers thing. Where did this belief come from that if we make more offers, we make more money? Like, who started this? Like, why do people think, and like, this is again, I'm inserting my own opinion, but it's not easier to sell 5 to 7 offers than it is to sell 1 to 3 offers. Absolutely not. Because you need to also think about offer awareness. Yes. And you want to build that. Like, I can think of so many entrepreneurs that have made 7 figures from one offer.
Yes.
Like, I mean, my first.
Yeah. I made my first 6 figures from one offer. And I can say confidently that every time that I add new offers to my business, because I'm like, oh yeah, I made it. It's time to add a new offer. I just get confused. And yeah. You know, that's not to say, like, there are definitely entrepreneurs out there that can manage and handle multiple offers. My ADHD brain all over the place, like, can't fully function when I have so many things to keep track of. And I just start to blur the lines. And next thing you know, if I'm working with a coach and they're like, what's the difference between offer A and offer B? I'm like, I literally am not sure at this point. Like, creating multiple offers is not necessarily the answer to all of your problems.
100%. And I also find that sometimes what happens is that you don't actually give them a complete answer because you're gatekeeping, because you want to have shit for other offers. So you're not actually giving them what they need. So people are not seeing results. So people are not happy. So more people are not buying because you don't have any social proof. And it's almost like a vicious circle, you know, a catch-22 of shit.
Yes. Yes. It's so true. And even so, you know, when I basically, the last 2 years, I've kind of burned my business to the ground last year. And then again, this year, in the sense of like, okay, I'm getting rid of all my offers and I'm starting fresh with new offers. Don't like my offers anymore. I don't know. I just like change a lot. And I'm like, I'm not into this anymore. And so this year when I said, okay, I'm going to go down this path of like really focusing in on lifestyle first, like let's prioritize your lifestyle and sustainability. And I was like, I want to do this in the most simple way possible. And when I really sit down and I ignore all the noise of what everybody's saying online, what I love more than anything is one-on-one coaching. Like, I love supporting people in a one-on-one capacity. And I also have this pull to start a membership, and I've had this pull for a long time. I haven't started my membership yet, but my thing is, instead of creating, and I feel like a lot of people don't think about business this way, but instead of creating my membership as like the entry point, and when you're ready to work with me one-on-one, you can come up to one-on-one and I'm going to hide things from you at the membership level, because you have to come into working with me one-on-one to get it all or whatever. I'm looking at it from the place of, to a degree, yes, a membership gets to be a place where my clients can come and work with me that can't afford the one-on-one, but it's also a place for somebody that wants to use my process, my framework that I've created to create that lifestyle first approach and sustainability in your business, but wants to do it for themselves. So it's almost like my membership gets to be the DIY version of my high level, high impact, high support one-on-one container. It's like, shift the way you're looking at things. Yes, I love a good customer client journey through your product suite, but think about if you're actually doing, like, creating this customer journey, creating this product suite to benefit your client, or is it really like to benefit your wallet?
Also, like, the other thing with that is that people don't work the way we think they work. It's not like literally someone comes and like they take this like low ticket offer and then they go into this and they go into this and they go into this. And, you know, it's the same as, it's just not that kind of funnel always. It can work like that. And I find that people then just obsess over a strategy so much that they forget why they're doing what they're doing. And then, you know, they go into someone's framework and it's like, they tell you, you have to have one course and you have this kind of tripwire and you have this kind of mastermind for this many months because this thing, and then you do like a re-sign option. And like, they just go into this box, you know, and a lot of times I find that they go in thinking very short term. And this is actually, I really want to touch on this topic that we're just talking about. This was the big thing that we're talking about before, which is very much instant gratification. I think instant gratification is one of the big diseases of online entrepreneurship. What are your thoughts on it before we go any deeper? Because I could literally talk on it for like 5 minutes.
No, I completely agree. Instant gratification is just like, I think you said it earlier saying like, it's like the disease, and it's something that I definitely dealt with. And what we were talking about before we started recording of, I really do believe that like people, especially people that have the anxiety, they're like anxious and lack the trust sometimes in, or the belief that their business gets to work. And I'm saying this like firsthand, I've been there, and having that instant gratification, it's like, oh, if I can just have this instant gratification and this thing gets to happen, then it's the proof and I'm good and everything's going to work. But in reality, it's like, we need to slow down. Like, I find that a big thing with entrepreneurship is it's an opportunity to challenge us to look at how we react to things and almost like question it and ask ourselves, like, why are we really acting this way? And so with instant gratification, we are just like so desperate to create a result. And I mean, I've definitely been guilty of this myself in the past. I don't agree with it now that I feel like I'm looking at business in a different way. But so I'm saying this as someone that's equally calling myself out like a year or two ago, but coaches are aware that instant gratification exists and they're almost feeding on that and leveraging that to their advantage to bring people into their world for an instant gratification kind of offer that is probably not really going to yield the results that people want it to.
I see. I have my own version of that. I call it just dopamine hits programs, where it's basically like someone goes so hard on their marketing. They're usually very good at their marketing. They understand exactly what their people want, what they need. They use the right words. They literally present it as the thing, you know, X person goes into the program. And then a few weeks later, because they're always very short, they walk away thinking, huh? Like, was that worth like my 3K, my 5K? But it's too late because that person has already moved on to the next big thing. And what I find is that with this, a lot of people do start to lose their self-belief because there's a lot of, I don't know if you've had this experience. I have had hundreds, I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of people come to me disappointed about investments. All sorts, from masterminds to courses to one-to-one to people not being the way they pretended to be online to, you know, getting zero results. I myself have made some very disappointing investments, especially in terms of learning courses, programs, things like that. And I cannot bear it. Like, honestly, like, it drives me absolutely up the wall.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I've experienced it. I've had clients experience it. And one thing that just like came up that I also want to call out is the ownership of our choice to make an investment and like what comes out of that, right? So like, I find that a lot of times I can't say right now if I've necessarily ever expected this. I don't think I have, but it's been 5 years, who knows? But a lot of times people will make an investment and almost think, okay, that investment is going to be the thing. Just making the investment is going to change everything for me. And I will say that part of that also comes from the coaches that like make a post and they're like, and again, raising my hand, I've been guilty of this myself, of like, you know, I've had clients that invest and as soon as they invest, a sale comes through and that's, you know, it's the energy and whatever.
The energy.
And, you know, all that being, it can be, it can be. It can absolutely be true. And if you're investing in a program, you better show up for yourself. Put in the work and do it. Because even if you're entering into a longer term thing, it's like, I find sometimes even if someone enters like 3-6 month program, they're like, oh, I have so much time. I'll try again tomorrow. I'll try again tomorrow. Yeah. And then tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. And it's been 3 months and you look back and you're saying to your coach, oh, I'm so disappointed. I didn't do what I wanted to do. But it's like, you didn't do anything. You didn't try. You didn't even give yourself the chance to try. So I find that that happens as well. But it also comes back to like people, I'm saying so many things. I have so many thoughts rushing through my head about this, but I think it also comes back to, with the instant gratification, people don't give things enough time to work.
Yeah. The rush. There's always the rush, isn't it? You know, like, I was speaking to someone recently and they were like, well, I've been doing it for 2 weeks. Like, it's clearly not working. Like, you know, like, maybe I should try this thing. And I was like, 2 weeks, 14 days. That is not a lot of time for anything to work. And like, if you were to go to the gym, you wouldn't expect results in 14 days. Like, why would it be any different in business? You know, like, I think here is where, you know, my mentor always says this to me. It's about a beginner mindset, like having that beginner mindset, you know, just being like excited to do it and just giving it time. Like, in your opinion, because I have an opinion, but how long do you think someone can give to something before they know it's not working?
Honestly, I think you have to give at least 6 months.
Yeah, 3 to 6 months. I think so as well. Depends on, again, what we're talking about, because you also don't want someone to just be doing something that literally is not,
no, for sure,
is not working for them, especially if it doesn't feel right to them. But I agree. And I think that I don't know a lot of people that give things 3 to 6 months to work before they quit, pivot, change their mind, etc.
No. And I think part of it is the doubt. And I think part of it is like boredom. You get bored, but that doesn't, but like you have to push through the boredom. And this is like, these are things that I need to listen to myself, right? Like, we're not perfect either, just because we're talking about this, but like you have to push through it, because, you know, obviously I don't have it all in my head, but like, there are so many, you see articles like this all the time. Like, there are so many such successful entrepreneurs that it took them months, if not years, before their business took off. And if they gave up, then we wouldn't have some of our favorite products today, because it was taking too long. Nobody was interested, or whatever it is. And it's like, you could be the next best thing, but you're not giving it the chance. You're not giving yourself the opportunity to let that happen.
Oh my God. You know, this made me think about two things. Shoe Dog, you know, the founder of Nike. Like, mm-hmm. if the book is incredible. That guy went through hell and back to keep this company alive until they actually made it. Like, I'm talking like probably like 10 to 15 years of a lot of stress. And, you know, from the outside, things were good, but from the inside, they were crumbling, and he just kept going. And also, so that was one thing. And the other thing is Seth Godin, you know, the marketer, the, you know, super famous marketer. I adore his books, because he always talks about business and marketing as creative acts. And the way in which he looks at content and marketing is a practice of doing it every day, of just sharing what comes to you, of just, you know, focusing on the process rather than the outcome so much. And I think we've become so obsessed with the outcome that we forget that the outcome comes from the process. So instead mm-hmm. of improving the process, we just chase a different outcome, or, you know, and it's, in my opinion, you know, you actually mentioned before we started recording about, you know, the 1%. Like, just mm-hmm. improving the 1%. I think that's the thing that most people don't want, because it's boring, right? It's boring to improve 1%. We all want to see, like, you know, double the audience size, or triple the launch, or doubling your yearly income. And that thing doesn't happen for a lot of people.
Yeah. Or let's even like look at a more modern example, right? So the big thing now is TikTok, and people want to get on TikTok, and they want to grow an audience on TikTok. And they think, again, they're going to get that viral video overnight and everything's going to change for them. And it does happen. But let's look at, for example, I feel like so many people know who Alex Earle is. She's gotten so famous in the past year, and she's done big things, and she graduated college this year and is right into like so many opportunities, and she's just thriving. But I haven't looked into her so much, and I don't like obsessively watch her content or anything, but she was creating content for at least 2 years before she actually got a substantial amount of followers and was starting to get brand deals and actually making money from showing up on TikTok. So she was just like recording videos, putting on makeup, talking to the camera for like months, years, as she was getting ready to go out with her friends in college before anything happened for her. And if she had ever given up, if she had ever stopped, her life would not be what it is today. And that's, I think, such a great modern, just current example of why aren't you giving yourself the time? Like, especially if you're going to use organic marketing, because it's not what it was 10 years ago. You're not going to get famous, and not necessarily that coaches all want to be famous, but you're not going to get the audience size that's going to make converting happen so quickly overnight. It just doesn't happen. Like, I mean, you know, anything can happen at any point. It does happen every once in a while now, but for the majority, it just doesn't happen the way it used to. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't get to happen for you. It's just not going to happen tomorrow. Like, you have to give it the time.
And also, don't you think some people just chase the wrong things? Like, for example, in terms of like audience numbers, like, I literally just gave this example in a podcast episode recently. I had a client that, you know, she challenged herself to post, let's just say, every day on TikTok, sometimes twice a day, so 7 to 10 videos per week that she batched, so it made everything easy, for 90 days. And she grew by around 500 followers, which some might think, oh, but it's not like the sexy, like I grew by 50K and whatever. But what mattered to her and the strategy that we used was very much specific to the person she was trying to attract. So she was mega happy because she got clients from that. She got an audience that actually gave a fuck about what she talked about, you know, like they were the right people that came into her world versus, let's be honest, when people do go viral, you know, they also get the trolls. They also get the random people. Like I personally, I have actually attracted, I've always had a fairly small audience. Now with my new brand, I obviously have a tiny audience, 350 people. Before, the most I've ever had was close to around 7,000. But I have people that came to me with 50 to 200,000 followers. And so I've worked with a lot of those people and I've seen the behind the scenes of what it means to get a lot of followers. And believe me, most people don't want that and they wouldn't be able to handle that level of trolling. Yeah. And also the numbers look very different when you have that level of account. And then okay. I see people coming to me being like, but can I grow my account? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not your person. First of all, don't come to me if you want to grow your account. Like I'm genuinely not an expert at that. Many people are, but I'm here to help you make money. Like that's my thing.
Yeah. You don't need a huge audience to make a lot of money, like at all. I see it all the time. People making a bunch of money with a small audience. And also, you want a bigger audience, show up every day, day after day, because today's content compounds into tomorrow's content, compounds into the next. And every day that you show up, every day that you create an impactful, empowering piece of content that's of service to your dream client, that's giving your dream client another opportunity to find you, another opportunity to connect with you. But if you go and you post haphazardly here and there, you disappear for a couple of weeks, you're that much less likely to gain the traction to start making conversions, especially not a sustainable amount of conversions. I can even say for myself, when I go engage in on people's accounts, people that follow me and new people that I want to connect with, I go look at when they've posted most recently. And I'm like, you've not posted in 3 weeks. Like, that's a shame. But like, you, I don't know, like you might be on there every day. You might be, yeah. But I can't tell. I don't know. So I'm not necessarily going to waste my time connecting because I don't know if I'm ever going to get to build a connection with you. I don't know where you are. Like, that's the reality of using organic social media marketing is like you need to be consistent. But a lot of people look at that as, oh, that's so daunting. That's so stressful. That's so much. But it's like, that's literally your job. Like your job, you can choose to spend money and throw it into ads and disappear and see what happens that way. But if you want to go the organic route, it's literally your job to create content in order to convert into clients. Like that is your job.
And I think here also, like all you need is a mindset shift around, oh my God, I have to create content to get a client that is so boring, that is so intense, that I don't know what to talk about, to the only thing I have to do is to create content to get clients. Like I worked in sales before, and I've done the cold calling, the obsessive searching of someone's email, the rejection, the feeling of like getting on the phone and there's like a secretary and you're trying to get through to a person. Like, listen, that was tough shit. And then I look at people being like, but I don't want to post. And listen, I get it. You know, you got to feel your feelings, but you also got to do the thing that is going to get you there. Because if you don't do anything, you're not going to see results. And I think that, again, people invest in things that are very much like dopamine hits, like instant gratification, hoping that somehow they're going to bypass these things. Like, it's almost like, oh, like maybe this is the shortcut, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how?
Yeah. No, there's no, what I have learned in 5 years is that instant gratification as an entrepreneur is like, honestly, not real. Like it's not real. Every once in a while you will have that, but like ground in, how much better is it going to feel instead of having instant gratification right now, committing to 3 months, 6 months with a mentor that's really going to prioritize your success and helping you reach your goals. And looking back after 3 months and saying, holy crap, like I'm at a place where I'm getting at least one inquiry a week, at least one inquiry every single week after like months of quiet is a lot better than a dopamine hit here and then weeks of nothing and then another dopamine hit. Like every time you're like, I want instant gratification. Wouldn't you rather have something sustainable that gets really, like you get to work with dream clients that new people are showing interest every single week?
Yeah. And I think maybe it's also a commitment thing. you know, maybe it is like the instant gratification, but it's also people don't want to commit to something. There's maybe like a fear. And I do think there's an element of fear investing. Of course, there are a lot of elements, economical, all these things, but I also think there's a bit of distrust of the online, especially like, you know, we both do business stuff. I think people have been screwed over massively.
Yes.
And now they're like, oh, but what if this is the same as that experience? And they're almost projecting onto that. But I do agree that I think, you know, I'm not against courses. I create courses. I buy courses. Like, I'm actually a huge course buyer. Personally, mm-hmm. I generally do courses or one-to-one. That's like mm-hmm. what I invest in personally, because I like to learn and I like to get, you know, customized support. But so I'm not, you know, talking shit about courses at all. But I find that sometimes when you go in for the long term, you actually have, you get someone, people have context of you, you know, instead of having to like retell your whole life story, or, you know, you listen to a course when you're at the point where you don't even know anything, it can be even more confusing, just adding more information in, you know?
I agree. I think that courses that walk you through like a step-by-step, like this is what you're going to do first, this is what you're going to do next kind of thing, can be really helpful, at least for me in the way that I consume. But if I am like, I don't know what I need, or like at the beginning of my business, having that person to like really walk me through it and understand my specific situation was so much more helpful. Like it really, like you're saying, like it really can be really overwhelming or confusing to just get filled with more information, when really like you just need somebody that can look at what's going on for you and what do you specifically need.
Yeah. And I also honestly think that, again, and I hate like sounding like harsh, but I do think for a lot of people, and I was actually talking to my partner about this in a different context, that a lot of people just don't want to do the work. And this is the thing that saddens me, because I feel like we're so privileged to do what we get to do, to work from home, to be online, to be in our pajamas if we want to. Like right now I'm standing here and like I'm not wearing any makeup. I'm literally in my kitchen. I'm just chilling. Like how nice is this? I don't have to like dress up, get on a train, be in an office, you know, have someone else make my hours or whatever. Like I consider myself so lucky. And the work that we have to do to run an online business is really so much simpler than what a lot of other jobs require. And I think sometimes we get so much in our head that we literally forget this. It's almost, I literally have a post in my drafts about this. It's a sense of entitlement.
Yes.
Of like, we all deserve to have six figures. Like, you know, all of these things, instead of just actually appreciating the moment that we're in.
Yes. No, I completely agree. Like, I know it can sound harsh, I agree, but like, it's so true. Like, people do not want to put in the work. And I think part of the problem is, honestly, as much as I love TikTok, like everybody on TikTok being like, here's a really easy way to work from home and just like make a lot of money. And that's not what it is. Like these things aren't easy. Even with like, you see so many people talking about like UGC creation now and different things like that, and talking about how easy it is. None of it's easy. There's a lot that goes into it. There is so much money to be made. There are so many potential clients in all these different industries, but you actually have to work for it. You actually have to be good at it. You actually have to try. You actually have to prioritize and treat it like your job, because that's what it is. And I also agree, like, what an awesome gift that I could just sit and chill in my apartment all day writing content, and that's my job.
Yeah.
Or getting on calls with clients and helping them map out their next week to plan how they're going to work towards getting more clients, or whatever it is that we're currently working towards. That is so dope. And people like need to be more grateful for that opportunity. Like how cool that that's what we get to do. And in return, we have to like make some content.
I think that for me also, what I've noticed, that I'm sure you feel the same. We started around the same time, you know, 2018, 2019. It used to be cool back in the day to have a six-figure year. Like that was like the thing. And these days, I feel like people feel like a six-figure year is a failure almost. They're like, oh my God, like that is just like basic, like just six-figure. No. You want a six-figure month. A six-figure launch, like you have to have, like, you know, you have to put how much you earn, you know, like in your bio on your Instagram or at the top of your website. Or is it, I feel like it's just become a game of external validation and of thinking that someone's income equals their expertise. So if you don't earn X, you must not be an expert. Or if you don't talk about earning X, you must not be earning a lot. Because why wouldn't you share that? That type of mindset, I feel like, is really fucking with everyone's head.
Can I be honest? Some of the coaches that I've worked with that have made the most money, and that's what's led me to hire them, have actually been the worst coaches I've worked with. Like, a lot of the coaches,
I'm nodding aggressively in here in the background.
A lot of coaches that make, like, and I'm not saying all of them, there are so many really good coaches that make a lot of money, but a lot of coaches that make a lot of money are just really, really, really good at selling you something and marketing it. And they're really good at making themselves a lot of money. Mm-hmm. They often have disappointed clients. Mm-hmm. They're often not the nicest people. They're often not in it for the best reasons. Like, not to just like go on like a bash fest here or anything, but like, it's just the reality. And like, I've experienced it myself. Some of the coaches that I've worked with that have made the most money have actually led me into the worst burnouts of my life, because they're so, what's the word I want to use? Like, separated from the reality of somebody that's not at their level or close to their level, that they push you to doing things that they're doing with a team of like 10 that you might be doing.
You are literally speaking my language, because I literally, do I have a post about this? Me posted it. Maybe it's still somewhere to be posted. I literally wrote about this, exactly this, because I find that I see too many people, and I've had people also in the past just not go for my programs because they went for X's famous program. And then they are someone who maybe, you know, they're earning like 5K months, maybe even a 10K month. And they'll go for this like multi seven figure mentor and buy their 10K course on like this random topic. And they'll be one of 100 people in a room. And I'm always wondering, like, how does that help you? Like, you know, you don't even feel confident doing this thing and that thing. And you go in a room with that person who already has an adoring audience that they've built trust with for the last, I don't know, 7 years. Like, I find it hard with this. And an example, and I'm going to name her because I actually adore her. So I'm naming her because I love her. But I always think about her when I think of this example. Jenna Kutcher, actually, and Marie Forleo as well. Two very big names. Majority of people have heard of both of them. They're huge names. They're probably like multi 8-figure earners at this point, or at least their businesses are. How can you, beginner person, learn directly from them when their reality is so different? Like, my God, like, I just cannot imagine how someone would think that's a good idea versus someone who is still an expert and has a reputation, but on a scale that is, you know, closer to them. So there's still a little bit of relatability and empathy and sympathy.
Yes, no, I completely agree. One of the best coaches I ever worked with, the investment was $3,000 to work with them one-on-one for 3 months.
Wow.
And it was literally last year. Like, this wasn't like the beginning of my business. This was like where I was last year in my business. And it was one of the best experiences I've ever had. So that's just like proof that like, you don't need to spend like $15,000 and work with the biggest mentor that's making millions of dollars to make a lot of money. Like, you can make a lot of money and will probably feel more supported and more seen by somebody that's a little bit closer to where you currently are.
Yeah. And what advice would you give to someone when it comes to choosing who to work with? Choosing who to, okay, two questions there. Choosing who to work with, because I really love this conversation that we've had, but I want to make sure that we're giving people something to walk away with from this specific conversation around investments and people and so on, because obviously both you and I have been in the business for a while. So we have like a lot of perspective, but I'm thinking of the person that's listening to this, they're like, huh? Like, what are you talking about? I didn't know any of these things. Let's do that as the first question. What advice would you give to that person?
I think it's so important. I a lot of people go into an investment like it's almost like a dopamine hit of its own. Like, they see something, oh, that sounds good, let me buy it. Like, you know, they just kind of like jump on it before they can think about what they've just done. And it's like, oh my God, I just spent this money. What am I doing? Like, what has happened? Sit down and ask yourself what you're looking for. Like, why do you want to invest in a coach? What do you need? What are you wanting to create for yourself? If we're talking business, like, what do you want to create in your business? Why do you want to create that in your business? What are your values? What kind of support are you looking for? Are you wanting somebody that, you know, kind of just you get on the call and they're like, what do you need? And you just kind of talk about whatever you need. Are you wanting somebody that comes to the call ready for action? Like, what are you looking for? What are your expectations on how you want that support? Like, really ask yourself these questions, really think about the kind of person and the kind of support that you're looking for. And then ask the questions of the coach, like whether they do sales calls or they chat in the DMs with you before you buy in, like ask them these questions. And if they're kind of like, you know, or you don't, like it's a feeling thing, maybe that's not the right coach for you. Like be curious and explore and make sure that it's somebody that shares your values, that is going to support you in the way you want support. That's not going to push you into a box that you don't want to be pushed into. I think that that's the most important thing, is to just be really clear on what you're looking for.
So funny. I don't think I've ever shared this online before. When I made my first big investment, early 2020, I think I paid like, what at the time felt like a fortune. I think like 7K pounds. And I literally went and I tried to find every single person that gave a testimonial on the coach's page, and I reached out to them. And I was like, hey, like, I just, you know, I'm considering this thing. I just want you to be honest. Like, what was your experience like? Yeah. And for me at that time, because I had made in a month in a previous job, and I was very well paid in my previous job, like almost six figures. I was terrified to make that investment. I was literally like shitting myself with excitement and fear. Yeah. And for me to feel safe, that's what I had to do.
Yeah. I listen to podcast episodes that they've been on before I hire coaches a lot. I'll listen to them and listen to what they have to say and feel like, what do I feel hearing them? I'll stalk the crap out of their testimonials and I'll read so many of their posts. Like, I really want to make sure they're not just really good at marketing, but they're actually good at what they say they're good at.
100%. And that point that you made around, like, I, again, it was in one of my posts, like most people that make a lot of money are just really good at selling themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. And that's very cool, but that doesn't mean that they'll be good at helping you do the same. And I think that, again, that's where we mix in like the expertise with the actual marketing, because someone could literally, again, I was talking to someone that I really respect in the industry, and she was saying that so many people that she knows, admires, they make a lot of money, have a full-blown marketing agency. Like, they don't really do any of it themselves.
Yeah.
So as long as you can hire, you know, a cool photographer and a cool designer and a cool marketing agency and some salespeople to be in the DMs, to go on your calls, to write your emails, you don't even have to do any of it yourself. And you're sitting there thinking that this person is like the shit. And I think that this is why I love having these conversations, to dispel some of these things. Like, I'm so much for transparency. And I feel like we just need to get a little bit more real about the industry, because again, there's so much magic in the industry. And I just want to almost like remove the crap out of the way so we can just see the magic, you know?
Yes, I completely agree. I'm with you.
And the second question I had to you about, you know, the topic that we talked about is, what would you say to someone who feels overwhelmed when it comes to what to focus on? I know that's a very open question, but I'm thinking, we talked, you know, about sustainability, about not focusing on instant gratification. And I'm sure a lot of people are nodding along. I mean, like, yes, I want all of that, but I don't know what's next. Like, should I do DM stuff? Should I look at my offers? Do I need a coach? Do I just, you know, scrap everything? What would you recommend to someone when they feel overwhelmed?
I do think that when you're feeling overwhelmed and you're feeling like you don't know which direction to go next, I do think it is really beneficial to have a coach, especially a one-on-one coach. Like, I do think that that's really, really beneficial. But I'm not just going to say that's what you should do. Like, that's what I recommend. And like actual things that you can grab onto and take action on, I would say, take a step back and ask yourself, how can I look at things as simple as possible? Your business might have a lot of offers right now. It might just have one, but if you're feeling overwhelmed, hone in on one and let it be the thing that gets you to a place where you're feeling like sustainable, where you're feeling grounded, where you're feeling centered, right? So pick that offer that you're going to commit to focusing on for at least the next 3 months and make sure that it's the best offer you can possibly have, that you're so confident in the transformation that it provides. You're so confident in what, like how it can change your client's life or business or whatever it is. Just make sure you're so grounded in that, you feel so good in that, you're so excited about that. And just show up to create content about that consistently, about like the different elements of this offer, not like, let me talk to you about my one-on-one coaching calls today, but like about the foundation of it, right? Like what are the problems that you're solving in this offer? How can you speak to those and speak to how you solve them? What is your dream client aspiring to be or to create? How can you speak to that in your content to show them that you can help them create that? Like create content from that place, a place of service, a place of value, and just double down on that while like simultaneously being in the DMs to like have connections, have conversations, get to know people, just like start conversations with your followers, start conversations with new followers, with new people, and just consider it networking. And if you do both of those things together, give it time and it will lead to clients and that sustainable feeling. There's obviously more pieces that you can put into it and more things that you could do, but in the simplest way, that is what I would look at and just make it so simple for yourself.
I love it. Simple, simple, simple. I absolutely love it. Amazing. Okay, I think now it would be really good to go into this fire round because I feel like we talked about a lot of different things, but this fire round is my favorite way to kind of like wrap up any episode just to give people like, don't overthink it, okay? Just like quickly, what is one thing that you believe our listeners can take away from today and just implement straight away? Like one thing from everything we talked about.
Oh my goodness, don't overthink it, but I'm overthinking it. One thing, like let go of the dopamine hits. Let go of the dopamine hits and give yourself the space to just show up consistently and let that work. Like remember that every day is compounding after like one after another. So just show up today so powerfully and then do it again tomorrow and do it again tomorrow. That's what I would say.
Love it. One day at a time.
One day at a time.
See, I'm a big believer in people changing their mind, and which I think is again very like looked down on. As humans, we always change our mind. So what is something you changed your mind about recently?
Oh my gosh, what didn't I? I'm always changing my mind. I literally changed my mind a couple of months ago when I stepped into working with clients one-on-one again. I was like, you know, I was stuck in this belief of like, I can't do one-on-one. Well, like I can do one-on-one, but like very minimal. One-on-one is like highest access. Nobody really gets to work with me one-on-one because that's what the space makes you feel like you need to do. You start with one-on-one, but then you almost graduate out of one-on-one to group programs. And it would be like crazy to go back to one-on-one. So I think that was a really big change that I did. I retired my groups and I said, I'm just going to hone in and focus on one-on-one.
I honestly love that for you because I am such a big believer in creating offers based on your energy levels and on your season of life and what brings you joy, the thing that you're excited to actually deliver. And I think too many people think that the way to freedom is courses, group programs, etc. But a lot of people actually hate like creating courses and the pressure and the group stuff and the dynamic and holding all of that. And they love one-to-one, but they think they have to do that stuff. So I really love that for you. What is a book that you recommend to any entrepreneur?
Oh my gosh. A book that I recommend to every entrepreneur. Honestly, I love the book Rich as Fuck by Amanda Francis.
Great book.
I love that book. I think that's a great book. That's what I would recommend.
And I love Amanda Francis. Such a good vibe. what does being bold mean to you?
Being bold to me means just showing up unapologetically as myself every single day.
Beautiful. Again, speaking of language, I'm telling you, like, this amazing. And lastly, where can our beautiful listeners continue to get more of your magic and connect with you online?
Yeah. So come find me on Instagram. It's just my name, Becky Fagan. And I know people listen to podcasts while they're walking or driving or things like that. So just look at the show notes for how to spell my name. I'm not going to spell it out for you right now, but Becky Fagan. And I do have a podcast that is on hiatus at the time of recording, but it will be coming back and Claudia will be coming on as a guest in the near future. So look up the If She Did It podcast. There are a lot of episodes there and there will be new ones coming out very soon.
Amazing. Definitely listen. There's going to be everything in the show notes. There will be the link straight to the podcast. So you can go listen there. But honestly, Becky, thank you so much. I feel like we had quite the conversation.
Yeah, I love this.
I think people didn't know what they were getting into. Like, I didn't know what we're getting into, but I loved it. Like it really like energized me. And I feel like I'm hoping this is just the beginning of people feeling like it's okay if they've had any of these thoughts and no one has said them out loud.
Yes.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Bold in Business. If today's episode sparks something for you, share it with your audience or a friend who needs to hear it. And if you haven't already, please subscribe and leave us a review because it really helps us to spread the message further. Check out the show notes for more ways to connect and all the details. And until next time, stay bold.